I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's a hashtag mailbag Monday. Reminder, if you want any question answered, you can go on Apple Podcast and leave a 5-star review. Download, subscribe while you're there. Leave the 5-star review and we will answer it for you on a mailbag Monday. These are going to be coming throughout the offseason. We got tons of time. Also coming throughout the offseason in June, we're going to connect with, we're going to do team by team podcast to sort of assess the state of every team in the NFL. We will connect with 32 different non-CBS guests who cover all 32 different NFL teams. And we'll get you ready for the 2020 NFL season. 2 episodes a day, 2 divisions a week. That's right. 2 episodes a day for your listening pleasure. We've already lined up some great guests. Those will be coming up. We'll still have Monday mailbags. So keep dropping your questions. And if you have a question for those teams, so AFC, NFC East teams, you're listening on Monday. You still have time to maybe sneak that question in. But if you have a different team other than those teams and you want to ask us a specific question to get insight from a specific writer who we'll have on for those shows, now would be a good time to put it in Apple Podcasts because we'll see it. We'll add it to our list of questions we're going to talk to them about, and you can get your question answered, not just by some slappy with a mic like me, but an actual NFL reporter. Let's get to the mailbag. Best NFL podcast minus Debo. Finally. Somebody understands the score around here. Debo.
It's the score.
No, I'm just kidding. This podcast was crap before Debo showed up. And, if Debo leaves, it'll stink again, I'm sure.
Joey's probably a Pitt fan.
He says, Penn State ? Really? It's like, he went to school there. What do you want? Were you a Penn State fan before going there, Debo?
No, I actually was adamant that I would never go there because so many people from my town went there, but I kind of branched out from that.
So who did you root for in college before you went?
I was always NFL. I was always the Eagles, so I didn't really – I just gambled when I was like 12, so.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot that Debo always tells a story about how he used to run a book. He's a middle school bookie.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, this is from from Joey Crenshaw, who says, love the podcast, listen to it every day. Thankful that you guys aren't lazy like other podcasts that only put out 2 to 3 shows a week. You can infer whoever you want with that. I need my fix. 2 questions here. First, obviously Big Ben is coming back, but given his age and possible health concerns and with no reliable backup, what is or what should be the Steelers' long-term game plan at quarterback? They have a lot of young talent, so a rebuild seems like a waste. Second, keeping it in Pennsylvania, what is a realistic ceiling for the Eagles this year? On a side note, don't listen to people saying to stop using the Dickie V dunked on. I find Dickie V to be the most annoying person on the planet, but laugh every time I hear you play Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo. Love you guys. Love the Brady Quinn shows.
What a big jam. Wallace took it in his hands and said, up and away, Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo.
I was going to say, I do think if we shortened the Dickie V dunked on it, maybe it wouldn't annoy as many people as often. But
I do kind of like that idea. Like, what if we chopped up the Dickie V? So it's like half and half. Like the Dipsy V.
What if we chopped up Dick Vitale? That sounds good. No, but I do think if we broke up the clip, maybe it would
prompt less people, fewer people to turn off the podcast.
There was actually,
I think it's hilarious that we had one guy said he hated it, and then we had all these Dickie V defenders come out of the woodwork and say, no, keep it. I want to hear all the Dickie V's.
I'm with Joey. Like, I mean, I'm not playing it. I guess obviously I'm playing it because I think it's funny, but like legitimately every time I play it, I have to hit a button so I can also hear it when you guys are hearing it, but I want to hear it. I don't know what it is about he's like, oh, what a jam. Like, I think Dickie V's annoying as hell too, but I find that sound bite to be just absolutely hysterical. So we'll use it with, we'll keep using it. It's a dunked on, but maybe we'll figure out a way to chop it up, split that sound bite in half. Like, you could cut it off at like, what a jam.
Just do dipsy do dunkaroo. I think that's what.
I really like the what. He's like, what a jam. You know what else we could do? We could grab, maybe a NBA Jam sound clip.
I have a collection coming of dunk clips. Okay.
I think that might be the way to do it, is to create a rotation of dunked on clips. And then so that way, like, when you get Dickie V, it's like a pleasant little surprise. So we'll just mix it up. How's that sound?
Works for me.
Also, the Steelers quarterback situation. What do you think, Ryan? What should the Steelers plan be? You're the Steelers guy. How on a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with the idea that, you know, after talking yourself into Big Ben's complete and total recovery from this major elbow surgery, that you're not going to see 16 games or 14 games of Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges in 2020.
Big Ben being close to normal, I'm at about 7 out of 10. I feel okay with that. But if he gets hurt, that's a problem. And, you know, you try to figure out why in God's name you would stick with Mason Rudolph after what transpired last year. And defenders will say, well, he played okay up until he got concussed by Earl Thomas, and then he was terrible, of course, when he came back. And then he actually wasn't that bad up until the moment that he got hurt. He came back for a game or so when they must have benched Duck or something. But at the end of the day, he was terrible. Let's be honest. He wasn't a good quarterback. So I would prefer Marcus Mariota sign this offseason. I think he signed for 2 years, $7 million each year. I mean, that's stealing. Even cheaper, Jameis Winston, even cheaper still, or at least he's still in the market. Cam Newton, so there are options. But clearly Mariota and Winston were happy to be backups. I don't think Cam necessarily wants to do that. So unless the Steelers think that Ben ain't going to play and they want to get Cam, I don't think Cam will be there. But they are apparently invested in Mason Rudolph. The only thing I will say is that they have a quarterback's coach in Matt Canada for the first time in as long as I can remember. So that's one less thing the offensive coordinator has to do. And maybe
former NC State offensive coordinator Matt Canada.
Yeah, he's I think he was at Maryland too, most recently, but right. So he has a lot of experience in college. We'll see. Maybe that helps, but I ain't expecting miracles from Mason Rudolph. I am concerned if Big Ben does in fact get hurt or is unable to play, because it ain't going to be 8-8 again. That lightning ain't going to strike twice.
Jason Lockenford and I talked about this last week a little bit. It's entirely possible. Like, so the Steelers, if you look at the cap for Big Ben, like if they, you know, I mean, they're not going to cut Big Ben. It'd be $44.5 million dead against the cap in 2020. Just 22.25 dead against cap in 2021. It does feel like, okay, Big Ben says he's healthy. This is a weird off season. You know, we know Mason, we know Duck. It's going to be hard to find a guy you don't know. How would Cam be with the dynamics of that? We think we could win running the ball and playing defense. Let's roll into 2020 hoping Ben's healthy. And if he is, we're a Super Bowl contender. And if something goes awry, then, you know, worst case scenario, we have a pretty high draft pick in the 2021 NFL draft, where I think it would be stunning if the Steelers didn't somehow address to me, next year is almost the year where you address it.
I thought they should have, Ryan mentioned Marcus Mariota. I thought they should have gone after Andy Dalton. And I know that sounds crazy, but look, Andy Dalton, he's from the AFC North. He's familiar with all those teams. You want a good backup quarterback in place. Otherwise, if the Steelers would have had a competent backup quarterback last season, they would have been a playoff team, like no brainer playoff team. And so I don't understand why they didn't go out and get one this year. And I think Andy Dalton would have been a good fit. There you go, guys. There is your patented John Breach, Andy Dalton mention of the day, sponsored by
Ginger
beer.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, what's that stuff that old people use to keep their teeth in, keep their teeth in?
How about Red Hots? Sponsored by Red Hots. He also mentioned the Joey mentioned the Eagles as well. What is a realistic ceiling for the Eagles this year?
Super Bowl.
10 yeah. wins.
No, I think it's higher than that.
What's the lowest worst case scenario?
So I mean, we don't need to, you know, we're not going to kowtow to Tebow here right in a
review. No, let's say everyone stays healthy. Worst case scenario.
Now let's go around the horn. What's the worst case scenario for, I'll start unless somebody else is ready to go. I would say if everybody stays healthy,
you know, relatively healthy, no one gets,
it's like Carson Wentz plays. That's
I'm getting 16 games out of Carson Wentz.
Sure.
I think the floor for this team is 8-8.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say 7 or 8.
Yeah, I was going to say 7 and 9, but that's
that's worst case scenario
with people healthy.
I will say
their schedule's tough.
Their schedule, they have a stretch where they play 3 straight games. I wrote a thing that people can go check out, the hardest stretches that any team faces.
Pass.
In the NFL in 2020, and the Eagles were on the top 5. They have a stretch where they play the 49ers, Steelers, and Ravens all in a row. Those are 3 very tough games. They have a stretch later in the season where they play the Seahawks, Packers, and Saints all in a row. So, I mean, there is definitely a few stumbling blocks in their schedule.
Okay. Moving along to the next podcast review from, the 1103 on Apple Podcasts, Drunk Presidents and Brunch. Hello, super friends. I've been listening for about a year. Love the pod. Ignore the hater who says you guys should cut to the chase. Don't worry. We will. Even just by subconscious. I love the Presidents and Brunch talk. I have a question for the guys. As a lifelong Texans fan, I am not sure what Billy O'Brinson is doing, but I stand by the Clowney trade. Wilson dunks on it all the time, but what did the Seahawks get out of it? 2.5 sacks and lost 2 players in a 3rd-round pick for a player who they rented for a year as of right now? Thanks, Josh. P.S. Brussels sprouts are not a Thanksgiving food and love the Dickie V soundtrack. Do not take that off.
Oh no, his finger is hovering. I can see it.
You can tell he's a loyal listener. He cited so many different things that, you know, right. The Brussels sprouts, the Dickie V, Ryan trashing Billy O'Brinson, like.
Was the Brussels sprouts less than you? Was it really last Thanksgiving?
That was this past Thanksgiving.
Everything feels 5 years older.
Remember, Debo has been like doing this podcast for less than a year, like with us.
I feel like Debo's like my stepbrother.
Debo has aged 40 years in the last.
Yeah, Debo's got like 12 promotions since he started doing this thing.
He deserves it.
Podcast good or bad for you, Debo? One word answer.
One word. Good.
That's it.
Good.
I'm sorry. You lost. I'm just kidding. Debo, you would say good, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, as you guys know, I drove home last week. My mom did say that I looked about 10 years older to,
oh, that's hilarious.
To say what Ryan said.
Well, mom, you listen to Will Brinson talk for like 2.5 hours every day. It's like being the president of the United States.
I was going to say, it's like the Obama photo of how gray his hair got by the end of his 8 years. We needed to take a before Debo picture when he started on the pick 6. And then when he finally quits.
Debo like leaves a podcast and somebody's like, so when is your 40th birthday? He's like, I'm 28. So anyway, the Texans.
Hey, let me ask quickly. Do I dunk on the Clowney trade? I don't remember.
I think you, like the rest of the free world, dunk on Billy O'Brinson.
I think one of the listeners said on Apple iTunes review that we should try to disassociate the Texans from Billy. I think we talked about that. Billy O'Brinson, the coach, and Billy O'Brinson, the GM.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to do that.
Okay. Like moving forward or like right now?
Both. I didn't want to interrupt you if you had some other thoughts.
I think that is 100% correct, but go away. Go ahead. I mean, go ahead. Don't go away.
Yeah. I think probably my reaction to if I was dunking on the Clowney trade, it was probably based in Billy O'Brinson being Billy O'Brinson. But, you know, I just said in the last podcast, if, you, the 1103, listened to that one on Friday, that I don't necessarily think that, Clowney signing in Cleveland is magically going to fix that team to another win or win and a half. Sean felt a little differently about it than I did. But yeah, I'm okay with trading Clowney. I had no issue, or at least I don't now. If I did, it was probably just slanted by not taking Billy O'Brinson seriously. But I do think, and I give Sean a hard time about this, I think the Texans have a chance to be okay because of Deshaun Watson, and that's Sean's argument. But I do think Bill O'Brinson has to do a better job of not being GM. The coaching stuff, fair enough. I mean, you can have questions about it, but we talked about it. They win a lot of football games with Bill O'Brien, but the GM stuff, they got to figure out, and it has to be figured out with Bill O'Brien not being the general manager.
But that's not going to happen. because they literally just handed him the official title.
All right. Well, anyway, that's my
take. I don't think they're going to fire him as GM and keep him as coach. I feel like he will hold both and they will be tied to each other. And if he gets fired as GM, that probably means the Texans suck and they'll move on and move on from him as a coach.
I don't know. People are like, well, what happens if the Texans stink this year? Does Bill O'Brien get fired? It's like, who's firing him? Like, it's not even like it's Bob McNair. He passed. His son is running things and like he's inherently tied himself to, Jack the Preacher and Billy O'Brien. Like it's, you're listening to these two guys who are selling you whether or not it's a bunch of magic beans or an actual, you know, an actual like a legitimate sales pitch that will work out, that they're going to build the new age version of the Houston Texans, I mean, the New England Patriots as part of the Houston Texans. And here's my thing though. So, Bill O'Brien took over in 2014, right? So
yes,
starting in 2000, cause he was hired on New Year's Eve on 2013, or New Year's Eve 2014. Whatever it is. December 31st, 2013. You get the point. Since then, he has had six drafts, I believe. Jadeveon Clowney was his first pick. Kevin Johnson in the first round after that. Will Fuller after that. Those are pretty decent picks. Kevin Johnson didn't pan out as well as they wanted. Neither did Clowney, I think you could argue, but, you know, they've sort of battled some injuries. Deshaun Watson after that. And then Titus Howard. So, like, I think when you look at what happened after Bill O'Brien accumulated all of his power, you have to worry a little bit, even as you're getting players – you know, like Kenny Stills, who's been effective, like Laremy Tunsil, who's been very good, but got overpaid. I think to Ryan's point is like, he doesn't separate Bill O'Brien, the GM, from Bill O'Brien, the head coach. And I just worry a lot about a team that keeps giving away first round picks. To me, it's almost similar in a lot of ways to the Seattle Seahawks, who did that with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson covered up a bunch of flaws. Deshaun Watson is capable of doing that, but at some point you run the risk of undercutting this fundamental pillar of your franchise, the, you know, the quarterback, by not putting enough young players at cost effective, salaries around him with those early picks.
Well said, Brinson.
Thank you.
Billy O'Brinson is in Billy O'Brinson's head. That's what I hear there.
Yeah.
But you know what? The other thing is that is weird. As bad as Bill O'Brien, the general manager, has been, I mean, we mentioned it all the time. He's gone to the playoffs four of the past 5 years. We sit here and he bash what he does and somehow ekes out 9 or 10 or 11 wins because he has Deshaun Watson. And that's what Russell Wilson's, that's what Deshaun Watson's do. They cover up your flaws, like you just said. So, you know, I think Bill O'Brien would have to not make the playoffs at least 2 years, including all these dumb moves he's made, to get canned. So I think he's there for at least a couple more years, even though I know a lot of people have questioned the DeAndre Hopkins trade and a bunch of other deals he's made.
And, you know, look, there's a case to be made that maybe, like, let's see how, in fairness to Bill O'Brien, let's see how the DeAndre Hopkins thing works out. You know, like if Hopkins doesn't play well, or he's hurt, as Pete Prisco has intimated, or the, and the Cardinals are a 5-win team and the Texans win 10 games. I mean, what can you do but tip your cap to Billy O'B?
Well, what if Hopkins goes for 1,600 receiving yards, but David Johnson rushes for 1,100 yards and 600 receiving yards?
I mean, if the Texans win 10 games and make the playoffs, like, it's, you just have to, I mean, like, he can keep making these moves we don't like and we don't understand, but if they keep winning in spite of it, like, it's hard to really say anything else, you know?
It's going
to
empower him. He's going to get crazier with his moves.
I mean, he's got a 54% winning percentage in his career. I mean, like, his teams just win football games despite him. Okay, next question. Somehow lost my place in the rundown, as I do all the time. Oh, I know why. I was trying to avoid this one from Tebow904.
Oh boy.
Love the show. Listen daily. Please give Sean a full 5 minutes. Debo, editor's note from Debo, 1 minute without interruption to dehumanize Christian McCaffrey and parrot Pete Prisco about how running backs don't deserve to get paid the same he did with Zeke, Gurley, etc. So, on that note, Sean, let the games begin.
Well, I will just start first off by pointing out that Christian McCaffrey went to Stanford, which automatically makes him not a real human being because Stanford sucks. The second thing I will point out about Christian McCaffrey, as much as I love him as a robot football player because he is not human, is he went for almost 2,400 yards a year ago, and the Carolina Panthers still finished with 5 wins. And that's really the entire argument against running backs. like Christian McCaffrey, is that it's not a knock on him as a player. He's done everything literally in his power to drag the Carolina Panthers to relevance. And even when he was at his best, they won 5 games. And that is the illustration of why you should not pay running backs a significant amount of your salary cap. And quite frankly, I'll go a step further. As much as I love him and as much he's the best player on the Carolina Panthers, the Panthers should have shot them this offseason as they enter a rebuild and gotten a first round pick for him, if possible, by someone like, I don't know, Billy O'Brien.
Okay, that was actually somehow not a full minute. Actually, I timed you at almost exactly a minute. Ryan had you 57 seconds. Disappointing in a sense because Sean couldn't, God knows, what if we'd given him 5 minutes? He would have like a drowned dog out there like begging for like somebody come in and talk. I would like to say on the record that no one interrupted you despite burning up a good 5 seconds with Stanford slander. Unnecessary Stanford slander. Sure, your points sounded fine, I guess. I was trying not to laugh because we all had stopwatches up at the camera.
For what it's worth, is that the longest anyone on this podcast has talked without someone interrupting?
No, Brinson's had tirades that go on for 2 and 3 minutes about just everyday things that happen to him.
And Brinson's gone on at least one 20-minute tangent.
I'm sure we're on a tangent about this stupid fantasy league thing that's unfolding. They are going to throw me out of the league.
Well, people will throw this podcast out of their listening rotation if you go on that tangent.
Actually, one of the guys one of the guys listened to the show.
We don't even know who he is.
Yeah, he does. He actually delivered a well-versed suck it up Buttercup email in response to my initial email. He is also bitter though that in 2017, I claimed, this guy off his practice squad for a third round future pick. His name, Patrick Mahomes.
Who would have said Christian McCaffrey?
Okay, coming up after the break, the lost conversation from the Super Friends. I guess we sort of need to explain this, but basically, who is the most narcissistic Super Friend? We'll tell you after the break in a conversation that occurred a while back, but had to get edited for clarity and time, and has now been added on to this mailbag.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is from mmart6767, and this one, Ryan just took off his hat. This is a deep introspective, break. Mmart's going to ask the tough questions.
Good. I welcome it.
Can the Super Friends fix Ryan Wilson? And so I thought this would be like they want him to stop e-farting on the, by the way, I think, so we've been recording with Zoom. I think it's a Skype thing. So, hey Skype, in the words of Pete Prisco, see ya.
If somebody writes in and complains, gives us 1 star and says they want the farting back, does that mean we're going to switch back to Skype? Like you did with Dickie V here and you're just killing Dickie V because one guy doesn't like him?
Should I delete?
I'm going to have a burner account that says I like Dickie V. I might give it 5 stars.
The Dickie V clip just needs to be less than 9 seconds. That's the problem. It needs to be like 1 second. So anyway, this guy says, can the Super Friends fix Ryan Wilson? It was not about Ryan's e-farting. Instead, he said, hey guys, longtime listener, absolutely love the pod.
But seriously, can you guys fix Ryan Wilson, please? He was far and away my favorite super friend and overall guest that comes on the show. There's a but. Unfortunately, ever since he got made junior draft analyst, he is narcissistic, dismissive. To be fair, he's always been dismissive, but it used to be in a funny way. And now he's just plain tough to listen to. Dude acts like he knows everything there is to know about teams and doesn't even entertain other people's opinions on the upcoming season because he's watched extensive tape on a pair of receivers from Rhode Island. Oh my God.
I have done that.
Good for him for taking a step forward in his career, and I've enjoyed most of his draft takes, but the draft's over now. Hoping Brinson and the rest can call him out on his BS and get him back to the Wilson we've come to know and enjoy over the past few years. Wow. Ryan Wilson, too big for his britches. What do you have to say, Mr. Junior Draft Analyst?
I welcome that comment by MMart6767. Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I'll ask you guys. Where's the part where he really goes to town? Narcissistic, dismissive, and now he's just playing tough to listen to. You would agree that I'm playing tough to listen to. Narcissistic or dismissive than I've always been, you think?
I will say this. One, I think you're actually the fourth most narcissistic super friend on this podcast.
No, that's not true. Probably.
Narcissistic?
We know who's number one.
I'm one. Sean's two.
You think so?
Sean is constantly preening in front of the camera and bragging about working out. Of course he's narcissistic.
All right, Sean.
These rankings, I think, are from pre-draft. Right now, I think M. Mart, he's right, and Ryan's ego has inflated bigger than Brinson's. It's like a hot air balloon that's just floating out into space.
And I'm not working out right now because of quarantine, so I can't brag about it. So I'm way down.
Well, my question is, am I any more narcissistic or dismissive than
No, him? So I think this is – I think that he is taking this as narcissistic and dismissive, but what is really happening is that – Ryan is just sick and bleeping tired of working. Like, he worked his tail off leading up to the draft. And now he's just like, it's not like he's dismissive. He's just like, I just don't care. Like, it's the off season and I can't hear Brinson talk anymore.
There's a lot of truth to that. That sucks. That's very self-aware of you to realize that, because I wasn't sure. No, I was thinking about this because I'm not going to yell and scream it because I used to be his favorite podcast guy. I want to win him back because I can't fall. I think the last time we did the rankings, I came in second. Because the poll was loaded because Brinson had to beg the votes again.
I do think that, like, the fact, like, this whole quarantine thing, I have been far more, like, short, like, with communications to people, both personally and professionally, than I ever have in my entire life. I'm tired of my family. They're sure they're tired. I know they're tired of me.
We gotta clip that and put it on Twitter.
I mean, like, there's a lack of normal. And to add to that, like, up until the past week, we've been doing a daily NFL podcast and a daily NFL video show. And we love what we do for a living.
And to add to that, in the lead up to the draft, Ryan was doing like 20 HQ hits per day, writing multiple mock drafts. And I do really think, in Ryan's defense, that from basically after the Super Bowl until the draft, that guy was working about 15-hour days. And I could tell he was being short with us, not because it was just like, and you're quarantined, so it just was like a buildup of everything.
He asked off like several pods, and it was like, yeah, for sure, don't worry about it. Like,
I didn't.
Yeah, I knew he was run down when 15 minutes before we were about to start the podcast, he was like, I have a heart out in 15 minutes. That was like it.
What was that? Was that true, or are you making that up?
No, it was literally the week after the draft.
Oh, I wonder what I had to do. But no, that's very nice of you guys to say. But to bolster what you guys have just said, Breach and Brinson both were on hand for two of my biggest work-related meltdowns. One at 3 in the morning after the Super Bowl, and then the other one at 4 in the morning after the first night of the draft. Sean was there for that one as well.
My God, I forgot. I'll say the other thing too is, like, look, part of the process of being a draft analyst is that you essentially have to create a sense of confidence in a bunch of opinions that, like, are mostly going to be wrong.
True that.
So, like, you are
inherently. By the way, your final mock draft got like 55% more correct than my final mock draft. So that's exactly, that's to your point.
Well, I mean, it was just blind luck. I mean, I got Andrew Thomas. That's why.
You had did you have Jalen Reagor in there too? You had some pick that was non-traditional. Maybe towards the end of the first round.
Brandon Ayuk, I nailed to the 49ers. Yeah. Team specific too, but like, yeah, I mean, like, part of this job is, like, I don't create, I'm just me. Like, I don't, people are like,
I mean, like, I don't create some persona and act like it. That's just who I am.
But podcast audio on or off, this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, that guy who called Brinson a tryhard last week, that's just Brinson all the time. So there's no tryhard here.
If you don't like me on this podcast, you better be glad you don't like hang out with me in real life.
You might want Brinson 2012 version. We found an old video clip of Brinson doing a video.
Yeah, it was shy Brinson.
But I was sort of thinking about that. Like the more you do these, you're just a little more confident in your opinions and I think
I told you the first time they had me go on set at CBS Sports was October 2018. They just sent me up there. I had no idea what to do. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know where to put my hands. Poor Casey, Kiernan, who was the host at the time, was like, oh my God, this guy's going to have a heart attack on air. I got off air and Brian Tully, the producer, said, man, the first thing he said to me, man, you got to calm down. That's what he said. I was like, yeah, no kidding. But right. So, you know, you do it for 4 or 5 years. You just get a little better at it, or at least used to it.
Yeah, but part of being better is like you get more confident with what you're doing, but you also bring a level of confidence. And so I think what this guy's seeing is Ryan is worn down and more confident because he's done the job. You're more confident because you've been a draft analyst for several drafts now. But you're also like exhausted because of the draft and because of Corona.
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking about it. I think hopefully part of it was just me being tired.
And not to mention they added that HQ show where every day we were talking to each other an extra hour. And it's not that he's tired. It's that he has to listen to us, you know, 5 days a week all of a sudden as opposed to maybe twice a week.
Literally spent more time with you guys than my family.
And on that show, because of the audio delay, he can't even like none of us can mount comebacks against each other because you just have to sit there.
Except Brinson in the last episode where he just interrupted everything.
And if we're, you know, being full disclosure, there were various challenges when it came to all these productions.
All right,
moving along.
Mmart 6767. I'll try to be better.
I can't wait until Ryan's gonna have this deep conversation with his wife at some point this weekend. Am I narcissistic?
We're about to get off season Ryan, and that is peak Ryan. So I think he's gonna win back Mmart before the end of the month.
End
of June.
Well, that's also the thing is there's some of us on this podcast, if we get that level of criticism, you know, we will think about it and try to do better. And then there's someone else on the podcast who will just lean even more into it.
Oh, you want narcissistic.
You don't like me? That's your problem,
you
man.
You want narcissistic?
Yeah. I want to, if Mmart is in Fort Lauderdale next summer down there, I'll invite him to Jester's and I'll see if I can change his mind.
Do you think Jester's has survived the pandemic?
100%. That place, you can't kill that thing with a nuclear bomb.
The pandemic.
Yeah, Jester's might be like.
Jester's was ground zero.
or like the vaccine. Jester's, for those who don't know, is this very small, very crappy, very smoky bar in Fort Lauderdale near our hotel that Ryan took us to at 2 a.m. one time.
Before we were leaving, going home.
They said, you just go in there at like 3 a.m. and like Chief Sigs and pound Coors Lights and like crappy vodka drinks.
Can you smoke in Florida? Any other place except Jester's?
No.
Jester's is like grandfathered in because they opened in 1941.
Oh my God. Did you get on the plane? And like, I hate the smell of smoke. And I can't believe anybody.
All of my stuff that I put my shirt in my bag, all of my clothes when I opened up smelled like smoke.
Just like throw the sweater in the trash. Like, don't even bother. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Not a question. Oh, you know what? By the way, this portion of the program was supposed to be like 25 minutes and it's 45. So good job by me. That's what you
when
get for
Tebow's not here. We knew this was going to happen. The podcast automatically doubles in time.
And Tebow's listening in Pennsylvania banging his head against the wall.
Yeah. Not a question, but can we discuss the Cardinals for a few minutes? Tebow wrote that. Never mind. Best podcast around. I work really long hours, pretty much 10 days a week with headphones in. And when I go check for the new Pick Six podcast, I get excited when I see a podcast that was released that said hour and 45 minutes. Well, you're in for a treat today, my friend.
Ragu Bing, I got good news for you.
Happy Memorial Day. Yeah, Ragu Bing. This is without a doubt the best NFL podcast around. I love it. Start my day every morning with it and wish there was even more content, but I know you guys have a life. Not really. That's me saying that. I love the new dunk on drop. Makes me laugh every time. Go. Oh my God. should we give him one? No, actually, I can't even get it to load on my computer now. I think, I love this podcast. Although I am an Arizona Cardinals fan, and while I know they are not America's team, I would appreciate it if you guys showed Arizona a little more love. Thanks guys. Have a great day. Now you left this on.
You're on the Arizona Cardinals bandwagon, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm all in on the Arizona Cardinals. I think
we all love Kyler Murray. Is there anyone who's anti-Kyler Murray?
Sean, put him 19th. This is
Jesus Christ.
Well, I would say
not to take the Lord's name in vain.
He should listen, and he loves to listen is good because he's going to hear a lot about the Cardinals this year because, as we just said, Brinson loves them, and that means if they're awesome, that's all Brinson's going to mention that every single week.
Yeah, 100%.
The first person on the Cardinals bandwagon.
100%.
And if they're not good, that's all me and Sean are going to mention is how wrong Brinson was that the Cardinals were going to be good, and they, in fact, didn't end up being good. So, yeah, and, you know, I am sorry that Brinson is jinxing your team. Because
if the Cardinals start 4-0, I will
Chargers
be.
Chargers, how this works out.
If the Cardinals start 4-0, I will be absolutely insufferable.
I feel and like if you weren't picking the Bucks to make the Super Bowl in the NFC, you would pick the Cardinals. Cardinals, Colts.
I might still do Cardinals.
He still can do it. He'll change up until August.
Real quick on that 4-0, I wrote a story last week on the easiest schedule stretches for any team in the NFL. Cardinals had the third easiest stretch, and it was weeks 2 through 5. So if they can beat the 49ers in week 1, they get the Redskins at home, the Lions at home, Panthers on the road, Jets on the road, all very winnable games. So you upset the 49ers, maybe you start 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, so their bye is week 8. As you said, 49ers, Redskins. I mean, it's just, there's 3 straight road games there at Carolina, at New York, at Dallas, which is obviously not easy to deal with 3 straight road games, but.
Only 2 because they're traveling to Carolina and New York in one swing, not going home.
Good point, Breach. And then the Dallas game is a Monday night game. So you have a little bit of a break there as well. I wouldn't be stunned if they went 5-2 to start their first 7 games.
That would be amazing.
Do you have any more thoughts on that? I mean, we did sort of, I mean, like.
Are we sold on Cliff Kingsbury? Like, part of me thinks that he's just too pretty for the job.
I thought that he got a lot better as the season went along. Like, I think I was very worried, especially with all the red zone kicking that he did last year. Early on, it seemed like he was a little bit overwhelmed as a coach.
Maybe he was trying to protect Kyler early on. Maybe he felt comfortable as the season went on.
It just felt like he got more and more comfortable. And
by the way, when I say too pretty, I mean, he's obviously handsome, but, you know, Breach's doppelganger, Matt LaFleur, is handsome too. But my point is that, you know.
Cliff Kingsbury is by far and away the best looking head coach, right?
But my point is that you see him sitting at his, little house there.
Andy Reid? Mike McCarthy?
Belichick? He's the top of every list. Let's just put him at the top of the list.
Belichick's top 5 for me.
We should rank.
And hottie coaches.
He's that.
What about Kyle Shanahan? Is he?
We should do it by ages, like 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, that is what the old guy would say.
Where's Zach Taylor? Zach Taylor's top 5.
Well, the great news is I'm the oldest and I'm the handsomest, so it wouldn't work in this scenario. Is there anyone in their 70s coaching?
No, Pete Carroll's the oldest at 67.
Oh, yeah.
He's a top 5. Pete Carroll's a silver fox.
Yeah,
man.
He's
a smoke show.
But anyway, to my point, the only
I think Pete Carroll's he's 68 and he turned 69 in September.
You just wanted to say that. Is Gronk going to give him a birthday cake?
Maybe.
But my point is just that it was hard for me sometimes to take Kingsbury seriously when he's sitting at that fancy house and all that other stuff during the draft. When Bill Belichick's sitting there with his dog at his grandma's kitchen table. But yeah, now you did a better job towards the end of the season.
And they're plus 800 to win the division.
It was like 12. I like
totals. That. Win totals, Breach, 6.5.
I think it's 5.5. Seriously,
seven. It's 7. Now.
7?
7?
It is up to 7.
Moving
Everybody's
on.
Jumping on the car.
You going to bet the over on that, Brinson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. And not only is it 7, but the over's juiced. It's -130.
I think it was like 5.5 when it first came out. You got moving lines.
Everyone is all over that. And I will say the one thing, we talked about the Cardinals on HQ a couple weeks ago. My only concern, you know, obviously Cliff Kingsbury was a lot more comfortable coaching at the NFL level as the season went on. You know, as you guys said, the special team stuff wasn't taking the field goals all the time. And Kyler Murray looked better, but they did struggle against almost every good defense that they played.
Yeah.
And so they need a way. They can't do that this year. Otherwise, they're not going to be good. So, you know, being the Bengals and the Giants and the Browns is 3 or 5 wins. You know, that's not all that impressive. So they need to be.
And I'm obligated to point out every time it happens, they lost to Duck Hodges in Arizona.
Yeah. 3-5-1 in one score games last year. They finished 5-10-1, but profiled as better than 6 win team. Vance Joseph, concerns me a little bit on defense. Like, I don't think he's been exceptionally creative, but
their defense wasn't great last year. It wasn't necessarily because of him. I mean, they drafted some guys, got Isaiah Simmons. We'll see how he turns out.
Yeah. And they signed Jordan Phillips out of Buffalo. He's a good player to beef up the defensive line. Chandler Jones has been outstanding the last 2 years. Patrick Peterson should be back at full speed. Jordan Hicks, they added, who I think is underrated as a linebacker if he can stay healthy. And
Josh Jones fell to their lap in the third round.
Yeah. If that offensive line stays healthy, I think Kyler has a huge year.
So I just realized that they cut Terrell Suggs, right? He wanted out.
They just signed a one-year.
He wanted to go to the Ravens, and he went to the Chiefs and won a Super Bowl.
Right. They did cut him. Yeah, in the middle of last year.
I was just thinking he got that Super Bowl. They backdoored that Super Bowl ring. He has two now.
Yeah.
Nice job, T-Sizzle.
That's right. Hard knocks you?
Ball so hard.
Ball so hard you. That's right. Okay, last one. Get to the break in an hour. Diva's going to murder me. Super Friends. Hey, this is from Walking.
I forgot there was a Schottenheimer interview after this.
I was just telling you. He's like,
by the way, he's had Schottenheimer in hole for 2 hours.
Shotty, my man. Sorry.
I'll be right back. Just hold on 1 second.
Yeah. Super Friends. This is from Walking Creeper again. Hey, I'm back and I'm not changing my name, but I just wanted to know if you have any tips to stay in shape for a 6 foot, 150-pound defensive end / tight end in seventh grade.
Like, this is probably in Sean's wheelhouse since he's the one who works out.
When I see these reviews from younger listeners, I'm thrilled that we have a younger demographic, but it does make me like check myself and like,
my son is in seventh grade and I can't imagine listening to four morons talk about football.
Well, fairness, I can't imagine anyone in any age.
Yeah.
My son Robbie has been swearing occasionally. And he says it in literally the exact same inflection that I say it.
Yeah, of course he does.
I mean, but kids in seventh grade are watching rated R movies at that point for the most part.
Well, my son is six.
They're hearing far worse than what we say.
My son is six, so that's a bit more of a problem.
He's talking about Creeper.
Robbie was playing a video game the other day and he was like, this level is so GD hard. And I was like, oh my God, that sounded like me. Oh boy. Like, I've definitely said that on like complaining about a video game in the last like 6 months. Oh boy. I'm not.
Did you hear that? Don't do that to Annabelle. That's the lesson.
Yeah. Don't let Andy hear you cuss. I wonder how long I'll keep this little gag
they call her AB though.
Breach, if it bothers you that I say that, let me know, please, by the way.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
Cool. I told that to my wife and she thought it was hilarious.
That's okay, cool.
Well, you made a joke that I named her after Andy Dalton and her name was Andy Bell. I don't know if you remember saying that. And, she got a pretty good laugh out of that.
And she has reddish hair, so it makes sense.
Well, I parenting, when you become a parent and people say stuff about your kids, you know, like it hits different, you know?
It depends where it comes from too.
Sure.
You know, like when someone's wishing death on your kid on Twitter, that's an issue. Like Prince, you've dealt with some crap. I haven't had to do that because I don't have a baby and people love babies.
Yeah.
But you know, you've dealt with some stuff, but like when it's come from you guys, I don't care.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm not in shape right now. So,
that's not like news. You don't have to announce that.
Sean, what advice? First of all, 6 feet is really tall for a seventh grader. 150 pounds is pretty big.
I was 4 feet in seventh grade.
Are you still, you're a seventh grader right now?
That's weird. So I'm shorter and way more than him. That's great.
Right. He's a tight end. So I guess that makes you a linebacker. You have to cover him.
I mean, the Brinsons are a stocky group. Like I've never been.
Charlie's tall though, right?
Charlie's 6'3". My brother.
Wow. Happened to you?
Well, ask.
He's younger, right?
I think you could ask what happened to the postman.
Ooh, or the milkman is what we used to say back then. Milkman.
Yeah. I would say for this kid though, it's all about just staying in really, really good shape. I think a good thing to do on
his advice for staying in good shape is to stay in good shape.
Yeah, duh. No, but if you have a football field or something, I know Sean, you do a lot of
Zach Taylor. That's the Zach Taylor version of getting in shape. Just go out there and throw touchdowns, Ryan Finley. Just go out there and throw touchdowns.
It's that easy. But if you have like a football field or something like that, you know, do like, where you do 10 yards back, 20 yards back, 30 yards back, 40 yards back, basically the intermittent sprints. And that's a good way to stay in football shape when there's nothing else to do. You could even find a parking lot
and
touch lines and keep going. What?
Just do wind. You like go do wind sprints?
Yeah. When you're playing football in middle school, the idea is just be in better shape than everyone else.
So I actually think
that's good advice, John. I actually agree with that.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think that for as much as we joke about Tom Brady, like I really do think if you look at the trend of professional athletes, like back, you guys, have we all watched The Last Dance?
I haven't seen it all, but go ahead.
Okay. No, wait, wait. It's fine. At one point, they're like, Michael Jordan's like, I had to redo.
Spoilers.
Well, Michael Jordan decides to really start lifting weights one offseason, and he got bigger and stronger to deal with the Pistons. That's what people did in the 80s and 90s. It's like crazy, like, weights. And I think that, I really think that the earlier in your athletic career that you could sort of start to get into, like, pliability stuff and mobility and flexibility, like, it's going to A, prevent injuries early on, and B, it's going to let you play longer and be more versatile in how you play. Like, that's what you hear from athletes now, is that, like, doing that mobility and that pliability stuff goes a long way, like, strengthening your, like, I don't have a core right now. Like, I just have, like, a jiggly mess of, like, IPA and bourbon. Like, there's no abs. I don't have any abs left. They're just.
Well, this guy's in seventh grade, so he doesn't have to worry about having a jiggly mess of IPAs and bourbon, Brinson.
But my point is, like, he should be working on strengthening his core, because I think that will help him. I want to get back. I want to start doing, like, more yoga and, like, more flexibility stuff for golf purposes, because it helps your swing. It helps you stay looser as you get older. I wish I had gotten into that sooner.
My other advice would be switch positions to kicker. That's your best route to the NFL.
Or go be a baseball.
Your concussions, longer career.
Or go be a baseball. Be a baseball pitcher.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
A left-handed one. Go be a left-handed baseball pitcher.
Get his left-footed punter.
Ooh.
That's where the money's at.
And just hope Bill Belichick lasts 10 more years.
Who's the punter from Tennessee that went on to be a baseball player who's really good? I think he ended up being a coach. He's a USC coach recently. God, what was his name? Dang it.
There's Tom Tuba. played some quarterback.
Played in the 90s and probably the early aughts.
A punter from Tennessee who's the USC coach?
I think he played, like, for the Colorado Rockies too. Like, he was a.
Are you talking about Todd Helton?
Yeah, Helton.
No, Clay Helton is the USC coach.
Todd Helton was the.
Todd Helton's a former baseball player.
Right, yeah. Todd Helton was the. It's not that funny, Sean.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny. Todd Helton, the coach.
I mean, they have the same last name.
Is he talking about Clay Helton?
That's not that crazy.
I said much worse. But anyway,
so the same player.
But so in Ryan's mind, professional baseball player Todd Helton left Major League Baseball and was like, I think I'll coach the USC Fighting Trojans.
And he did a great job.
They always want to fire him.
Yeah, but the fact that he left baseball and just randomly coached football, that's amazing.
Right. That is a difficult.
Todd, Clay Helton was a punter. See if he was a punter. Maybe I got the Todds and the Clays mixed up.
Yeah, I don't think Todd Helton was a punter.
Oh, okay. Dang it. Never mind.
Clay Helton, 40-22. Let's see, what was he?
I just saw Helton and I ran with it.
He was a quarterback at Auburn and Houston.
Not even close. All right.
I mean, Auburn's in the SEC.
Was Todd Helton a punter at least?
On the Wikipedia page, the very first thing. Clay Helton, born June 24th, 1972, is an American football coach and former player. He is not related to Todd Helton.
And Todd Helton was Peyton Manning's backup quarterback.
Todd Helton.
All right.
Are you talking about Tom Tuba?
No, but I will say this. Pat McAnally went to Harvard. Perfect score on the Wunderlich breach.
And then where did he end up?
I don't know. Where did he end up? I know he went to the Bengals. Yeah, I knew that.
With the Cincinnati.
I knew him from back in the day when Ken Anderson and Jim Breach were on the team.
And you know what? He wasn't just a punter. He also played some wide receiver.
I want to know what punter.
I was thinking about. I don't know. I'm going to have to go think about that. Go look at the list of Tennessee punters from 1985 to present. See if I recognize any names. While you look it up, fun fact, Danny White. Do you guys even know who Danny White is?
Former Cowboys
quarterback?
Oh, okay,
I don't know what I'm looking up. Like, what am I? Like, I'm just a vague punter who may have become a head coach.
He wants a list of all the punters that played between what years?
85 and 2000.
From in the NFL?
No, at the University of Tennessee. I think he played at Tennessee. You don't really have to look it up. We can look. No one wants to hear this.
But you also thought Clay Helton was Todd Helton, so I don't know.
Yeah, and that one of
we can trust your memory.
Right. Do we? Wait, is his last name Helton?
No, I don't know. I thought it was Helton, but clearly I was wrong.
And this guy went on to be a coach.
No, I don't know. I don't know anything other than the fact that he was a Tennessee punter, because you've blown holes in all my other theories.
Did he play in the NFL?
How are you going to recognize this guy's name?
I'm going to look it up after we get off the podcast. That's how. So
I'm going through all the names right now.
How are you? There's actually a list of Tennessee punters.
No, I went to their Sports Reference and I'm hitting next year. I'm scrolling down.
Oh, gosh.
From 85 to now.
I think the way that you would want to do it, Sean, is to go to.
Please not do this. No one wants to hear this.
No, we're doing it. We got to wrap this up. No, we got to figure out. Sean, what the move would be is you go to draft reference. Go to Pro Football Reference and do draft. You could search Tennessee punters drafted in the NFL.
But we don't know if he played in the NFL.
Yeah, we don't know if he played in the NFL.
Literally just looking up random punters, and we have no idea why or what significance they have.
I know who it is. Dustin Colquitt.
No, it's not a Colquitt.
No, both Colquitts played at Tennessee. Hmm.
Kent Elmore? There's only three punters drafted out of Tennessee.
Maybe I'm misremembering. What's the other name you just said?
David Leverton and
Kent Elmore.
No. I thought it was a...
Oh, it was Texas, not Tennessee.
That could be what it is.
Oh, Nebraska, obviously.
It was William and Mary.
Or maybe maybe it was USC, and that's why you're confused about Helton.
I don't think so. Okay, I'm looking at the punters now. Yeah, I don't know who it is. I have to do some more research on this. This is what happens when you get old, guys.
Okay, well, we need an update on the next podcast.
I'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, I didn't
know. To finish my story, Danny White, former Cowboys quarterback. Do you guys know where he went to college?
USC?
Close, Arizona USC? State. Okay. But he was also the quarterback and the punter.
Was he there when Pete was there?
He may have been. He must be older than Pete, I think.
Pete Frisco went there. He was there. Danny White was there before 74 because he was drafted in 74.
How old is he on the page? Does it say how old he is?
68.
Oh, yeah, he was there before Pete. Pete's 59, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was the punter and the full-time quarterback and full-time punter. You don't see that anymore.
You sure don't. Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.